Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, it's Andrea Bernstein here with John Hockenberry. We're talking about President Barack Obama's just concluded speech in Cairo, Egypt. Here's an excerpt.
At the same time, Israelis must acknowledge that just as Israel's right to exist cannot be denied, neither can Palestine's. The United States does not accept the legitimacy of continued Israeli settlements.
It's one of the headlines from the speech, arguably. There were a number them in the speech, which took about an hour to be delivered from Cairo University earlier this morning.
The president also said it's wrong to blow up women and children on buses. He also said the cycle of suspicion and discord between the United States and the Muslim world must end. Joining us in studio to discuss the speech is Marcus Mabry, the New York Times international business editor. Excuse me, Mabry, I knew that. And Muna Shikaki, correspondent for Al Arabiya in Washington, D.C. She joins us now. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's start with you, Muna. How do you think the Arab world, if you can even sort of think of it that way, heard this speech and break it down for us, if you want, among different communities?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. There's not one monolithic view in the Arab world of America or of President Obama. But in general, what struck me most about this speech was the fact that it was obvious that Obama understands that the debates that are happening within the Arab world itself. And I thought that was really nuanced. He knew exactly the arguments that were used, the justifications for violence. And he also acknowledged things that a lot of other people have not talked about before, like the history of colonialism. He understands why the Arabs and the Muslims have a problem with the United States. During the Bush administration, there was a lot of talk about the fact that the Arab world misunderstands the United States. And I think we're past that now. Obama understands that there are actual reasons. He might disagree with them. The United States might disagree with these reasons, but they are legitimate reasons. And he's talking about them. He was talking about, you know, how the United States has dealt with Iran, how they had overthrown the government there. And I think that brings a lot of clarity to the relationship between the Muslim world, the Arab world, if you can look at it, like you said, as such, and the United States.
As a matter of fact, in one of the few places where he ad-libbed in the speech, which went on for almost an hour, he made reference to the debate as evidenced by the big applause lines for what he had to say about the rights of women. Let's listen to a clip.
Freedom in America is indivisible from the freedom to practice one's religion. That is why there is a mosque in every state in our union and over 1,200 mosques within our borders. That's why the United States government has gone to court to protect the right of women and girls to wear the hijab and to punish those who would deny it.
The Marcus, women's pronouncer there.
Right. But Marcus, maybe from the New York Times international business editor, how do you think people, you know, the fact that the sort of women's rights issues was one of the big applause lines, and there were plenty of things that were met with silence while he was there. Well, how do you think, what do you think that says about sort of where the Arab world is in its debate now?
Well, it's really interesting. That's a great question. I mean, I thought the speech was so powerful because you really saw the power of the personal history of this president. He really brought to bear, as he said, you know, I've witnessed Islam on three continents.
Marcus, hold on for just a second. We're joined now unexpectedly by Amir Moussa, who's the former general secretary of the Arab League, or former Egyptian foreign minister and secretary general of the Arab League, to give us some instant reaction to the Barack Obama speech. Foreign Minister Amir Moussa, thanks so much for being on the program.
Thank you.
How do you think, well, first of all, how did you react to the speech? It was an addressing of all kinds of issues. It was very wide-ranging, but what was the biggest theme that stood out for you?
I must tell you that my immediate reaction is very favorable. The president has said was all, in fact, a call for a balanced approach and a vision for the future built on peace, on cooperation, and mentioned the prerequisites for such a move or such a progress towards peace and stability in the region. The two-state solution, the abandonment of violence and extremism, the freeze on settlements, on building settlements and nuclear-free world, meaning nuclear-free zone in the Middle East, that all countries should abide by that. The economic and social development, the freedom of religion. Now, all that, in fact, are points that we agree with.
Well, Amir Moussa, let me nuance that a little bit. It seems on many levels this was a restatement of longstanding U.S. policy, particularly on settlements and a two-state solution. You may be able to quibble that he pushed things forward on the nuclear realm. How do you construe an essentially restatement of U.S. policy as something that moves things forwards, particularly from your perspective?
Well, I believe that the regional security, which we all need to guarantee, is not the security of one country or two countries or sub-region. The whole security situation in the region requires that this region, the Middle East, becomes a zone free from nuclear weapons. And this goes hand in hand with the general call of the president in his speech of 5 April in Prague, that he wants to see a zero option on the nuclear armament or weapons in the world.
Well,
so I think that this is important.
Well, Amir Moussa, go ahead.
I have a word commenting on what you said, that those are all long-standing American commitments. Now, it's not a question of commitment. It's a question of implementation, of policy, a new policy. And we have seen this commitment anyway wavering in the last few years.
Well,
this is a reaffirmation, reawakening of this commitment, American commitment.
Two great headlines there. What of this commitment becomes an actual deliverable? And it sounds like the other headline you're extracting, and I think it's really interesting, is that the non-proliferation discussion of nukes also refers to Israel in this speech. Amir Moussa, Secretary General of the Arab League, former Egyptian foreign minister, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. Bye.
Also joining us in studio is Marcus Mabry, the New York Times international business editor. What do you think of the first thing out of the box from Amir Moussa? I responded to this very favorably.
I thought it was impressive. You know, the fact that he even challenged John. When John challenged him, he came back and said, no, yeah. What's new about this is this reaffirmation. The fact that if the Arab leaders are willing to take this as a new march, a new stage in the U.S.'s pushing diplomatically for a two-state solution, then that already is progress. And I'm impressed by it because I don't see what's particularly new about it. I do not expect us to pursue a nuclear-free Israel. That's not going to happen.
One of the things that he said at the outset of his speech was he commented on his own name.
Now much has been made of the fact that an African-American with the name Barack Hussein Obama could be elected president.
That is not something that we've heard him say a lot, even talk about his name, and yet he sort of did that as an opener, an icebreaker in this speech.
Well, again, you really saw, I think, the power of the personal here. He was about history. He was about politics. He was about talking about all the people of the book, as they're called, Jews, Christians, and Muslims. But I really was impressed by how he said, I have known Islam on three continents before I came here. My father, my grandfather were Muslim. I was very impressed by the admissions of that. Obviously, it doesn't happen here in the political campaign in the U.S., and we didn't expect it. But polls have shown us over and over again that Americans did have an expectation that this president, because of his personal history and because of who he is, would have an ability to change the image of the United States in the world. And I think we saw the beginnings of that in this kind of rapturous applause he got many times in the speech.
Well, Muna Shikaki, before we end this segment, correspondent for Al Arabiya, is Amir Moussa's reaction to the speech, does that begin to constitute something of a news story from your perspective? Do you think his reaction is significant in any way?
Well, I think the popularity of Obama in the Arab world is a lot. The same way that the popularity of Obama here in the United States is higher than the popularity of Democrats, the popularity of Obama in the Arab world is much higher than the popularity of the United States in the Arab world. That's not saying much. But it gives a window for people in the Arab world to react to the speech. And when you talk to Arab Americans here and when you talk to people in the Arab world, there's a lot of hope, like Amir Moussa said, that this would actually turn into implementation. But a lot of people are still wondering what exactly is going to happen. All American administrations have talked about settlements. Is he actually going to go far enough to solve this issue, or is it just going to be you know, the same old talk. And if you also look at opinion polls, latest Gallup poll in the Arab world, you see that there's a doubling of the percentage of people who are withholding judgment of the United States. And I think this speech is definitely one step in the right direction.
We need to just wrap up this segment, but he got a big applause for what he had to say about Guantanamo and withdrawal from Iraq. Thanks very much, Muna Shikaki, correspondent for Al Alabiya. She's in Washington, D.C. Marcus Mabry, New York Times international business editor. We will continue this conversation on President Obama's speech that he just finished delivering this morning in Cairo,
Egypt. It's a fascinating fact from Muna Shikaki that a doubling of the number of people in the Arab world who are withholding judgment on the United States, and this speech extends that. That's interesting.